All right, moving right along, if Scott's not here to queue up the next, if you would put decommissioning as our next one. And I will remind you that we had a procedural order for in the springtime that put into the record for so that we can have this discussion. It compared a number of LURC approved projects and applications before pending, and as well as DEP. And it was those things were put into the records to have this discussion. I just put that first slide up there so you can get a feel for the components of decommissioning. You can get a just a graphic image for a moment. You got the two turbine strings, the O&M building and station and substation, which actually is going to be transferred to the utility and to the landowner. And then you get a sense there in the T-line where Banger Hydroelectric has their line coming through. Okay. Decommissioning plan and escrow fund. The plan is it's a budget of costs and revenues. It's also an agreement of when and how it will be fully funded, and when it will be recalculated at different points during the life cycle of the project. And it also has a trigger for if they stopped operating for 12 months producing electricity, there's a decommissioning trigger in there. And this is the kind of thing we're going to be going over now. But there are cost and revenue assumptions. Revenue projections based for this plan for Bull Hill are based on scrap metal value. That's an alternative to being based on resale of components, which has been some of previous applications you've seen have involved that strategy. This is based on scrap metal value, and we've got detail on that. And it's on an escrow funding schedule. We'll get right to that too. The plan on site is to remove above ground structures, remove below ground structures to 24 inches depth. That means taking up the concrete footings down to 24 inches, removing them, bringing in the fill and seeding and restoring the site to its natural drainage and regrade and reseed. As I said, the O&M building is going to the landowner and the substation is going to Banger Hydro. It's going to be, decommissioning is triggered by 12 months of no electrical production. These are the agreement aspects of the plan. Review of budget cost estimate is at 7 years and 15. That's where it stands right now. And that, I want to mention, escrow fund fully funded by year 7, and it's supplemented at year 15 if needed. And there's provisions are also in the land lease agreement. I want about removal of structures, but also the release. There's the lease has a renewal option beyond the 25 years for another period. I want you to be aware of that. That's all. Yep. Cost assumptions. Costs are based on all turbines, interconnection facilities, and other components to be disposed. That's the scrap. The cost assumptions in this plan, in this budget that you have now are based on estimates for labor, equipment, and fuel in 2011 dollars. Although there were contingencies built in, those contingencies, when I queried, this was never, estimates for labor, equipment, and fuel costs are in $211. Wages are based on 2011 data for Washington County. Next. This gives you a quick look at the decommissioning costs. The cost of decommissioning is near just about $2 million, 1.8. And it's broken down into management. You see the big number there. That's because the crane for about 300 and something, 330 or something like that. Mobilization of the crane, that includes some of the engineering for getting prepared to take these down. Then you have the actual site work, which is includes construction equipment and operations. That's the foundations, including either trucking them off-site or utilizing them on-site. Turbine towers, taking those down, that also includes crane operation costs in that 473. Next. Okay, the revenue side. The cost is offset by the salvage value of the towers and turbine components. This, at first, the application came in with an assumed resale of components for the escrow amount of $249,000. LIRC staff early on asked for the backup to those assumptions. You know, it was in the application, a couple paragraphs spelled it out. We wanted to see how you came up with these calculations. At that point, First Wind responded by having Sewell Company put the memo together and do a detailed plan of this, and that superseded, that was added to the, that replaced the section that they had on the budgeting. Both methods still calculated a net cost of $249,000, which would be the escrow amount. So the questions I want to start to have you think about here, you don't not have to answer these right now, is volatility of the steel salvage market as a basis for revenue over 20 years because of either certain things that have certain things are more stable, certain things are more, they go up and down. And I'm going to show you how they came up with an average cost as well. And then the frequency of revisiting the net cost, you know, what if it's based on this, what is the frequency to look at that? Raising the question of the upfront cost of dismantling before revenue. So if you're paying for your project by the sale of the components, you don't get the money until, well, it's probably a variety of mechanisms for that working out, but the idea that this is based on after you take it down, you get the use of escrow for engineering and mobilization. Starting to possibly think about that the escrow account has a base amount in it that is available to contract engineering costs for what, for how to get started on this, so that the escrow amount should actually possibly have enough in it to immediately hire the engineers and possibly do some site mobilization. That's just a question. Next. Okay, here's the scrap value so you can see how that works. Scrap steel today, $270 a ton. I'm not sure what it is today, but that's at the time of the filing in March or April. Second quality scrap steel, $200. They used an average of $235 a ton. All the turbines add up to 350.5 tons. So you see over there, turbine revenue, $1.5 million. The Met Towers, those bring in about $2 million, and the transformers are $76 million. So $1.6 million is brought in on the revenue side. And if you remember, it was $1.8 million, almost $2 million on the cost side. Therefore, $249,000 is the estimated cost of decommissioning, and therefore the escrow fund as it's been, as you've handled it to date. So we're looking at the questions briefly, the accuracy of the escrow fund, the adequacy of the escrow fund, and the frequency of recalculation, and we're probably getting right, probably right there. That's why I reminded you that procedural order four, and that is in on your DVD, you have all of that as well, and it's in the record. It takes a look at a number of different projects, and the scope of it. One of the things to consider when comparing different projects, if you were to look at a per-turbine cost of decommissioning, or if you were to look at the total cost of decommissioning, one of the things to consider is the scope of it, obviously, the number of turbines and the type, the foundation types, whether they are all mushroom poured deep footings or whether they're concrete pours on top of rock, you know, stable rock ledge and anchored in. So there's all different things to look at there. But the lengths of the roads involved, are there the collector line? Is there any collector lines to the transmission? Are they underground, are going to be abandoned, or are they above ground? So the scope of it is obviously the biggest comparison consideration. That brings up then next the extent of removal and restoration. Is the building going to be abandoned, transferred to the owner? What's happening with the substation? As I had mentioned on the Bull Hill project, those are transferred. What the terrain is like? Are we talking about Bull Hill or are we talking about Gibby? You know, we're talking about a mountaintop type atmosphere. On or off-site disposal, particularly with the concrete, is that being disposed on-site and if it's being brought off-site? And if it's where it's going off-site, then you start looking at the trucking costs. Component resale, it was a factor versus scrap metal. And then there's the escrow fund amount comparisons. Yeah, we can go right into that. We asked the question of the applicant, is there a method by which the applicant can calculate a per turbine decommissioning cost? The response, which I've tried to, which you have in the record fully, and I've tried to be fair in capturing it here, is we don't believe this is a particularly meaningful number to compare across projects because the total decommissioning costs for the Bull Hill project are distinct from other projects that have provided decommissioning information. So what the analysis and questions we have for you to put you in the frame of mind for that. Alternative ways to calculate decommissioning costs. Assume a scrap value of zero. Use the current scrap value. Use a historical average scrap value. Require frequent reevaluation to adjust for changing conditions. And require all costs to be escrowed. Recalculation standards to date. A seven-year recalculate fully funded escrow. In the PO4, you'll also see there's two Supreme Court, Maine's Supreme Court rulings that talked about 7 years as a period for recalculating decommissioning. Previously, it had been like 15 years. So that started to bring it forward, and that's why you're starting to see 7 years now as a shorter. And then review again and supplement the fund if needed again in 15 years. Assumes costs close out at the end of 20. So this is a 20-year program. That's why I mentioned the release option. Yep. The trigger, as I the current practice is 12 months period, no generation by all turbines. We did have public requests to apply a trigger for non-producing turbines, and you may want to the staff suggests on this that if 50% are not operating for 12 months, that the operator provided an explanation and an update to the plan. So the idea of the trigger having to be for all turbines or which you would consider a reasonable percentage of them, I think is something to think about. The commission may require the removal of those turbines that are non-producing. So, we're on the questions now. You'll find them at the end of the section on decommissioning. Before we do that, does anyone have any questions? I've been going right along here.
Do you want to mention that
one as
a question?
I want to see what the questions are first. See what they ask first. Okay.
Well, and just so you know that if you'd like, staff has done some thinking and we're prepared to offer a suggestion about an alternative here to the current proposal. So if in the course of your deliberations you'd like us to do that, we're happy to.
Alternative proposal?
Well, I think I was going to suggest if there are any questions or thoughts, I'd like to hear those to help incorporate. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts on the salvage option. But if you have another option that you're going to propose, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, all right, I'll do that first, and then we can keep going. Yeah, I think given the escrow fund at $249 right now, it's to take a look at it, recalculate in year three, or pre-operation, take a look at it at that time. In other words, it needs to be looked at. Okay. Samantha, maybe. Yeah. What?
Okay. Yeah. And I think we also discussed the idea of building into the condition of approval, if that's the way you want to go, an expectation that costs that are calculated in today's values be projected out so that the next analysis that comes in at either pre-construction or 3 years when they really know what the project looks like once they get it up, that those values that can be projected, such as labor, fuel, that sort of thing, be done in that manner, and that the conditions specify that the commission may engage an expert to review it if they wish. You know, if we can find someone in state government, we haven't so far, but maybe at that time there will be someone available, or if we can find someone outside of state government. So just to make it clear that the commission may engage someone outside of the commission in order to review it. So in sum, the alternative that staff would offer is, instead of trying to pick a total dollar number today, which would be, you know, you may have a better basis for coming up with a dollar number than we would, but that to require a more frequent reevaluation with some specific parameters around it that are acceptable to the commission may be a way to avoid making some assumptions.
Are you talking specifically about the cost, or are you talking about
both?
Okay, all right.
It may be really hard to project salvage value, but to the degree we can, we should try. And well, then. And also, if we require more frequent revaluation, we should be able to pick up some of those swings in the commodities markets so that it's you don't go 7 years or 8 years with scrap values fluctuating all over the place. And it might be, you know, every 2 years or every 3 years that revaluation get done. But if we're feeling like the total dollar value is quite low compared to other projects, it may be appropriate to keep a close eye on that as it goes forward. So I think based on a discussion with Amy, I think that could stand in a decision as a condition of approval. Yeah.
I have to say, as far as the trigger for decommissioning, I like the idea of the 50% that you mentioned, as opposed to just a year without operation. The other thing is the extent of remediation that's required, I think it's good. The problem I have is that calculating the total cost of decommissioning, there are a lot of variables in there that it seems to me like it isn't just a matter of, you know, it's like labor and all that kind of stuff that really, as you indicated, that need to be, I think we need to get a handle on that a little bit better. In addition, to take the value of scrap, we'll get to that in a second, okay, and merely net out the value of scrapping it versus the total cost and then determining that the escrow should be the balance doesn't take into consideration things that you've talked about, like the nature of the terrain, trucking costs, variable labor costs, all of those things that seem to me need to be captured somehow. And in addition, as you pointed out, Dawn, because I was wondering this myself, is that you're going to get the net after you've gotten the salvage value. But the planning for all this decommissioning, as you suggest, and making sure you have the equipment on site in order to undertake it, is going to require some money up front. And so it seems to me that the calculation as to the net to be escrowed shouldn't be just the difference between salvage value and total cost. It ought to include administrative operating costs for the decommissioning itself somehow. And how that's done, it just seems to me it needs to be informed there somehow. As far as the value of scrap, I mean, I can't take issue with Sewell figures. I mean, 270 a ton. It's actually gone up a little bit. but it's been tremendously volatile in the last couple of years, well, in the last couple of months. So I think that, again, as you suggest, a more, rather than wait 7 years and then 15 years and then 20 years and 25 years to recalculate that, we might want to look at that. And things like labor costs, transportation costs, other things that are highly, I can't remember the terms economists use, you know, inelastic or whatever, mm-hmm. that we really need to take a closer look at that. I'm not trying to complicate it, and I certainly don't want to overburden the applicant. I mean, I suppose we could just say, let's get a reasonable estimate of what it would cost to decommission and say, put that whole amount in escrow. I don't think that's a good way to do business. I don't, you know, I'm not being a business person, but I just don't, I'm not a business person in that regard. I don't deal with those types of escrow accounts, but I think that might be a little bit of a drag. But I think we need to come to a sort of a closer, you know, let's look at, you know, the real overtime costs and escrow that isn't merely the net between those costs and salvage value, but incorporates a realistic assessment of the cost for planning for and conducting the decommissioning. I don't know if I said that right.
Yes, I understand. Yep.